I don't know what you call it in other professions, but we just had our practice round.
Gosh. And I'm so annoyed before we even begin.
That's not good. That's not good. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel. Well, maybe that is good. That makes good radio, I guess. Sure. It's the 23rd of June. It's Tuesday, and we thank you very much for being with us. We are delighted to have you, and all you have to do if you want to be a part of our conversation, and I'm pretty sure you'll want to be a part of our conversation, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll get to the letters in a little bit. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we will get into the topics at hand. First, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. You're shaking your head, Alan. What's wrong?
Well, I can. My old chairman at the political science department at New Paltz, whenever anybody was talking to him, he'd shake his head back and forth.
It was a signal
that he was listening.
Oh, a signal that he was listening? He would not agree.
He would be, no, not necessarily.
Was it a palsy or anything?
It might have been, but I don't think so. It wasn't. But then the other thing he did is when you were saying something, right, he would make the words you were saying. He would mouth the words you were saying. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, my father used to do that.
Yeah. He'd mouth the word you were saying. That's enough to drive you right out of your skull.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was a great guy. I loved him.
SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, the much beloved... Rosemary Armeo, good morning.
Good morning.
And Times Union Associate Editor and, yes, equally loved, Mike Spain. Good morning, sir.
Yeah,
good morning.
When your employees love you, as his do, you better believe that that something special is going on. Because most time it's easy to hate the boss, right?
Some inmates have chopped them up.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, here we go again on this.
Yeah, and you said good things about... how you respected the fact that they were able to break out of there yesterday.
And I do. I think that's an amazing
And everybody wrote me
feat.
Letters.
They wrote you letters saying that I shouldn't respect them?
Yeah.
Bad people can do amazing things.
So what do you think? Do you think today's the day?
I think
could
they're,
be.
They certainly are making it sound like they're close. They found
DNA,
maybe? That's what they're hinting at. They didn't say that outright.
Yes. Well, no, it's DNA. They have detected that at least one of the two inmates who escaped on June 6th from the New York State Clinton Correctional Facility in the town of Dannemora, they've been at large for 17 days now. They have, on Saturday, they went to a camp, like a hunting club camp, one of these... you know, just very modest, Spartan little camps with an outhouse and a sink and a shower in it, basically.
And they
found evidence that someone had
evidence.
Broken
they
in.
Found a bloody sock. Mm-hmm. So obviously the guy had been walking on, you know, had a boo-boo or whatever. On
exactly.
Number two, but here's the important thing. You guys are missing the whole thing.
All right, what?
And what's that?
The cabin that they broke into, or the little shack, was owned by corrections officers from Clinton.
Oh, I didn't
read
that.
New information, Alan.
Well, I read it in the paper. I read it in the paper. As the old song goes, I read it in the Daily News. It must be true.
Mm. The Daily News.
Well,
no, I didn't know that was in the Daily News.
It is intriguing,
yeah.
and suggests that. And some of the locals have speculated that, you know, they're covered probably in black fly bites. They've probably exhausted. They probably haven't been eating. These are probably guys who... part of them will probably welcome being captured just for the clean shower.
Well, they've been on the run for 2 weeks. So
17 days.
Yeah. Their course on the lam has not been as remarkable as the route out of the prison.
Right.
Why are they still together? Why are they still in Dannemora?
Well, it didn't say. They're only saying that DNA from one of them, and they're only confirming that one of them was in this hunter's camp.
We don't know how long ago they had been there either, because they have withheld.
Although there was what they believe is a confirmed sighting of one of them.
Yes, yes.
I thought it was two last night. The Plattsburgh Press Republican said they saw two men. And then from 9 until 2, they were doing a helicopter search, which I guess was eventually
well, it's abandoned. An incredible story. These are bad guys. These are both convicted killers.
These are really bad guys.
And but on one sense, you have to be amazed at what they've been able to do in the last 2 weeks and prior to that.
Okay, now is he going to get letters? Because that's what I said.
What?
That just what Mike just said. They're bad guys, so they've done horrible things. They certainly deserve to be in prison, but they got out of prison.
No. Okay, Mike said it much more diplomatically than you did. I know. You're like, I'm rooting for these guys.
Yeah, almost like that. You did.
Okay, it's true, though.
You certainly understand.
Everywhere I go, people tell me how wonderful you are.
You know, somebody embracing the underdog until you think about what they're in jail for. You know, and then it gets easy to.
State officials should use them. I'd put them in all the jails in the state, the prisons in the state, and say, okay, how would you get out of this one? Because they have found some flaws. And I think some of that involves corruption in our prison system, guards.
Clearly, as we've talked about, they had help. And one woman has been arrested and is in behind bars right now facing charges that she aided and abetted their escape. And there's another prison guard at the facility who's been suspended. They're not saying over what, and others are believed to be under investigation.
Meanwhile, to Alan's point, the Buffalo News is reporting that the hunting camp in the Adirondacks, where authorities believe the escaped killers may have been hiding out, is owned by a group of correction officers.
Whoa, you had the scoop, Alan.
I know.
However,
that's important.
A resident in the area cautioned about jumping to any conclusions, saying that there are many prisons in the area in addition to the Clinton Correctional Facility, and there are many small camps owned by corrections officers, and there is no direct link that those officers would have worked at Clinton.
Yeah, innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yada, yada.
Okay, so, what this story also highlights for me is what really failed institutions prisons are in the United States. We have way too many people in there, way too many, not these guys, but way too many of the wrong kind of people who don't deserve to be in prison for the long periods they are. They're corrupt. They're dangerous. Do you remember the guy who was the cannibal? He was eating people.
Yeah.
And he ends up going to jail.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Exactly. And he ends up going to jail, and within less than a year, he was killed by inmates. If any prisoner in the whole country was to be targeted and deserving of some protection, it was him, and yet he was killed. And so if this escape...
You think we look the other way? Because a pedophile...
Yes, I do.
Pedophiles often get killed in prison.
Yeah, I think that's horrible.
Generally
that's cruel
speaking,
and unusual.
I can't agree more that we have a failed corrections system. In fact, calling the correction system suggests that it's there to correct people, but it's a penal system.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're finding that, in the Rikers settlement that is coming out now. Mm-hmm. That's
horrible.
Been a disgrace for years.
Yeah, for years, yeah. That's a.
By the way, we did get one letter. Yeah. Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate your reading that for the Buffalo News. We did get one letter that says he never signs. He just gives a bunch of numbers.
It comes from a text. It's legit. It's okay.
It is? It doesn't look that way to me. I don't like it.
It's like a text
but I still want somebody to sign their name. I don't like that stuff.
Okay.
Cabin is not owned, says number. Cabin is not owned by corrections officer. Guy from North Greenbush owns it. No connection to Dannemora. Now, that's interesting, considering what Joe, the head of us all, just read from the paper.
According to the Buffalo News, of what the Buffalo News is reporting.
Clearly, there are discrepancies.
Do we want to trust the phone number, or do we want to trust the Buffalo News? At least they sign their names.
That should flush them out.
Yeah.
Flush is
well,
the
it's
right
an
word.
Incredible story, regardless of how you approach it. And today, there is a buzz that they are zeroing in on it, and there's some feeling. We have a reporter up there, Keisha Klucki, who's been up there most of the 17 days and would probably like to get home and take a rest, too.
Do you think they'll take them alive or shoot or kill in the process?
I think it'll depend on what they're... I would imagine they would bring them to justice peacefully if they could.
If there's any possible suggestion that they are armed, I don't think they'll come out alive.
Yeah, it's Robert Garrow, I think.
Robert Garrow did. They do have weapons.
Yeah, Robert Garrow, back in 1978, escaped from a correctional facility in Dutchess County for elderly and handicapped patients, and did have a gun that had been snuck into him by a relative.
His son,
in a bucket of fried chicken. And in 1978, he got out of the prison and was in the woods off Route 84 in Dutchess County when they confronted him. The corrections guards confronted him. He fired off a shot, hit a correctional officer.
Actually, it was an environmental officer.
The woods?
The man shot him.
Did get injured. He wasn't killed, thankfully. But immediately, a hell of gunfire went down on Robert Garrow, and he was killed.
And the bullets all were fired from above, according to
subsequent investigation. How about the Boston guys? There was no fooling around with them, with the Boston bombing guys.
They were pretty well shot up.
Oh, my gosh, they shut down the whole city.
Well, not only that, but, you know, one guy got riddled with bullets, and the other guy, they fired at him, too. I don't know that he was... Yeah.
Right. They don't take chances when you have killers who are out there, right?
That's the best light you could put it in, but they don't take chances.
That's right.
But maybe...
Well, and these guys have nothing to lose at this point now, either. I mean, they were in for life anyway. What happens, so this is the exciting time of their life.
I do want to
they have life to lose, Rosemary.
Yeah, well, life in that prison, I'm saying, and they might prefer, what is it, suicide by cop.
The only other thing I wanted to mention is that you always have this thing right after where people say, "Oh, they're in Mexico by now."
Well, that might be because
the governor suggested that.
Well, that's true, but that never really seems to be the case. It's usually in these cases, even when it's within 48 hours, you know, how far can you get?
Well, but following up on Rosemary's ingenious theory about these guys and how smart they were and attention to detail and all the rest of it. My assumption was if they were good enough to get out, they would have been good enough to figure out, some delivery system to stay.
Okay, I have a theory on this. Don't forget.
The woman.
Theory, yeah. Their plan to get out was thwarted from the beginning when, if the charges are correct, the woman who helped them in the prison changed her mind. She'll only get
7 years for that.
So there they are. They don't have food. They don't have transportation. How far can you get?
Well, the alternate theory
the
going
faces
around.
Are everywhere.
There are many theories. Is that they never intended for her to be their getaway, and they had arranged for somebody else to be there a little bit sooner, and that person was the one who got them out of there hours before they were noticed. That doesn't seem to be the case if they were still in Franklin County, just the county over from Dannemora, as recently perhaps as
so
Saturday.
I want them captured alive, and they will have heard WAMC and how I respect
what they've done and let me interview them.
Yeah. Oh, you want the interview?
I want the interview.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, John wrote a very clever note, Joe. He said, "Will they be shot during capture, whether or not they're armed? ? Then he asked a second question. Is water wet?
Yeah, I suspect they are in great danger of being killed by authorities.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back and continue our conversation on other matters. We'll be right back after this.
Support comes from the Madison Theater, Albany, New York, showcasing classic and new movies. Now open, the Madison Live Music Performance Theater with a live performance from jazz musician Mike Stern tonight at 7 and 9 p.m. TheMadisonTheater.com for tickets. Great Camp Sagamore, a national historic landmark at Racket Lake in the Adirondacks, open for accommodations, tours, and events since 1897, greatcampsagamore.org. Fleury Lumber, Route 10, East Hampton, Massachusetts, providing oils such as Mesmer's and Benjamin Moore stains and paints for the protection of your deck, offering advice, assistance, and delivery, fleurylumber.com. And Siegel Music Colony, Scroon Lake, New York, celebrating 100 years, bringing music to the North Country in 2015, with performances and events now through August 16th. SiegelColony.org for schedule.
All right, we have a couple minutes before we go to a news break and time for a letter or two or three.
Okay, here from somebody else who's not quite the signer. And cheering for Rosemary and TPP. Love to have her. I've been absent for a while. Also, back to dysfunction always. So I guess Andrew's job is done. In fast-track vote in Senate today after parliamentary backflips by Boehner and Obama, and that is what she said.
And
she already anticipated this. She said, "Sorry." It's a him. "Sorry, I forgot to sign." And that's from John. All right. Very nice. Very nice. All right. That's it.
All right.
Oh, wait. Is there something else? Maybe. I'm examining my mail. Yes. Okay. Patsy says, "I reluctantly understand what Rosemary is saying. Hi, I can't knock Rosemary for, quote, admiring the creativity of the escapees. I was born in the 50s, but I love the stories about John Dillinger, Al Capone, Bonnie and Clyde from earlier days, much to my mother's dismay. So I get it, Rosemary. Take care, all. And that's from Patsy. Your mother was right, Patsy.
Well, that's a truism.
Right.
So, and then one other thing that, and just in a note, that people are saying, well, you know, we've had all these other sightings. Well, the difference here is the DNA, that they have a positive identification, which is, I believe, the first time in the 17 days that they have a positive identification that they were at this place at that time, which we believe to be...
Which we don't know what time.
Well, we believe Saturday.
Remember? Well, they discovered it Saturday, but you made the point earlier, Joe, we don't know when they left the DNA there.
Right. Although they said it was fresh.
Yeah, and remember the days when in a criminal scene... Yeah, right. Remember the days? Remember the scene when they used to say, take a little while, take a couple of weeks to get the DNA? And like, boy, they can really move fast.
When they want to.
They're doing a lot of it in the field now. It used to be where you would have to take it out, it would go to the lab.
Oh, is that right?
And now a lot of it's just being done right in the field.
I mean, it's fortunate that they were able to make the match. Too bad they didn't make it before that unfounded report that they were in Western New York in the town of Friendship in Allegheny.
Running out to Allegheny County.
And yet,
that was a lovely noise. What was
No. I knew a guy. He wanted to be. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to tell that story. Okay.
Good idea.
Stick to the point. Good
no,
job.
I'll get into trouble. Okay. So Betty writes, who they are. Has anybody asked people who are defending the Confederate flag as representing their heritage what that heritage represents?
We will get into the Confederate flag issue.
Yeah, you know, just a sort of
a teaser.
You
right.
Know,
okay. The appetite.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about that and other stuff right after this. We talked about this issue yesterday, but a lot has happened in the last 24 hours. The governor of South Carolina has called for removal of the Confederate battle flag. The Nikki Haley called on Monday for South Carolina to do what just a week ago seemed politically impossible, to remove the Confederate battle flag from its perch in front of the State House building. She argued that a symbol long revered by many Southerners was, for some, after the church massacre in Charleston, a deeply offensive symbol of a brutally offensive past. Ms. Haley said, the events of this week call upon us to look at this in a different way. Would we have seen that coming yesterday morning?
The tide was clearly turning. Yeah. I think this was... she made a quick move within a week. Her mind changed, but look at what's happened in that week.
It's
there's been overwhelming response and statements by the president, and I think you know, here's the other thing: we still don't know if politically it is possible. She's got she has made the call, but it still has to go through with a supermajority.
Yeah.
They have to have 2/3 vote. And the last time that a governor of South Carolina took a stand like this, his political career ended, not just his stay in the governor's chair, but ever. So that may still happen. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, boy, you can't imagine, though, because, again, the tide has turned, so it's hard to believe.
Well, remember, there is such a thing as a black vote. It's huge. And people are beginning to register and vote in the way that they should, and these people are very conscious. Look, George Wallace changed
13 years ago when this first came up. There was a black vote, and it was
but George Wallace got it. This is a guy who stood there and used every epithet he possibly could, and by the time he was gone, he was converted and asking for people's forgiveness.
Well, whole different state, first of all. This is South Carolina, the birthplace of the Confederacy, and the people who ruin the lives of other politicians who have taken the right stand, still there, and they're still active. They don't talk to us Northern liberals.
But don't you think that this event and all the discussion about the Confederate flag this week alone has enlightened a lot of people who probably, if you had done a thorough investigation of it. A lot of people probably don't know why they like the Confederate flag. A lot of them probably look at it as something that the Dukes of Hazzard had on their car and their good old Southern boys, and they don't connect it to the horrific past that she, you know, the governor mentioned in South Carolina when she asked for it to be, you know, removed. You know, people, once you educate people and you say, oh, it means that, there's got to be some recognition. You mean that horrible killing of these innocent people in the church was motivated by the hatred that this symbolized? Well, I don't want any part of it. I mean, I think people are turning quickly.
I would love for that to be true, but I think that guns and mentally ill people wielding them were intimately connected to the death of babies in Connecticut, and we don't have a change. We have a lot more awareness, but we don't have a change in policy.
Except let me just say that, and I said it yesterday once more, when we start to do to see change coming, like the gay and lesbian change and the
transgender.
Transgender, and the idea that overnight what seemed impossible, you know, just a little while before, happens. I think that's the way change often happens. People begin to bail out. They see others going in that direction. They say, I better get there too. And there is this dramatic change. I think that's what's happened. And Mike, to take some issue with you, I think that, if you ask them to articulate whether the flag stood for racism, they might not believe it, they might not recognize it. But I think it's in the DNA. I think somewhere along the line, they get it. They know what that flag means. You don't?
I think Alan is right. I think that, Mike, I wish your view were true, but I think race plays a real central role in our policymaking and our thinking in the United States. Some people know, for example, what it's like for children to starve, and yet there's not support for welfare because there's the idea that we're not going to help people who don't do it for themselves. Paul Krugman has a wonderful column today I recommend, and it's about the role of race in American politics. So, while it's certainly a good sign, it's not done yet.
But you have your two Republican senators with the governor making that call. You don't think that's going to have a...
Well, there'll be a backlash. Some people will dig in and say, no, it's my right. This is our heritage. But once, you know, that'll be a smaller and smaller group.
Yes.
I think more and more people will just sort of come over. And you know, the other thing, like using your analogy, Alan, which I think it does fit about how quickly there was a turnaround about marriage equality in the U.S. And I mean, it's happened so fast. I think it's because the younger people led the way.
Right.
They just did not tolerate this injustice of not letting people of the same sex get married, and they led the way. And I'm really hoping that the millennials will lead the way here. Once confronted with the reality of what that symbol means, they'll reject it.
So meanwhile, the president of the United States, who will be giving the eulogy for the pastor who was killed in the shooting in South Carolina on Friday, went on a podcast and was talking about race and had some really insightful, incredible things to say about race. And yet the only thing that really has risen to the surface is the fact that he used the N-word. He said, quote, "Racism, we are not cured of it. And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 to 300 years prior."
Do you think it was a slip of the tongue or a very calculated?
Oh, no.
Very calculated.
This guy's not a slip of the tongue.
No,
the White House said it was a slip of the tongue, but no.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they said he was really comfortable and relaxed, and he was just kind of talking to another guy, and it came out.
Oh, my reading of that was that the press, that he had intended to use the word, and he had no, that he... that there was no concern that he didn't.
Well,
that he
Joe,
said
CNN is on my side. That's
okay.
All I can tell you.
All right.
You.
Well, I'm sorry.
Then that makes it all right. Yeah. Right.
But at any rate, regardless. No, I don't think it was a slip of the tongue or he was just relaxed. I think it was pretty calculated. As they pointed out on all the TV commentators last night, if he had said it's not just a matter of using the N-word in public, would we still be talking about it here this morning?
Absolutely.
Words are powerful.
Well, that's right, and that takes away the power of the word, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
By using it.
Well, by referring it to it as, you know, the N-word or the F-word or whatever mm-hmm. we say.
You take away the power of the word.
Of the actual
word. Well, there are those who say, I'm sorry, let me just get in the last point and then I'll shut up, Alan. But there are those on the other side. Oh, my God, the content analysis we got to do. But there are others on the other side who say that the president betrayed the dignity of his office and that by him saying it, it gives permission for others, such as Joe Donahue here in Albany, to say it.
No, on the contrary. On the contrary, let me speak to that for one moment, if I can just get a word in here. I don't agree with that. I think, in fact, it has always been semi-permissible. It's something that has driven me crazy for a long time, for people of a particular group to use the word, whether it's a Jew calling himself the Y word or the K word or the Y word.
But
it is impermissible for anybody on the outside to use mm-hmm. it. So therefore, I think he knew what he was doing. I think he was comfortable with it, and I don't think he could be called. Anybody's going to say you shouldn't have used that word.
Oh, people have.
Well, have. But they were wrong. They were
just
wrong.
I mean, I do think that there is a. I mean, I just remember because a few years ago we had was it Randall Kennedy, the professor at Yale? I can't remember, but he wrote a book by that title.
Right.
And we used it, and it was, and his whole point was that it, about the word and the use of the word and so forth, and it becomes like and he wrote me a letter afterwards saying, well, you know, nobody would book him because nobody wanted to say the word, which I understand, but by the same token,
but you did.
Well, I did because I was quoting the President of the United States, which I think is safe in this.
No. I mean, when you interviewed him.
Yes, absolutely, I did.
Yeah.
I think that it's I think this is an interesting, because I agree with Alan, you know, if our first African American president speaking on the issue of race can't say that in a very detailed, thoughtful explanation, then I don't know who can.
Well, that's not the point, though. The criticism is that by our thoughtful African-American president saying it, it gives permission for the word to be used more widely than it ever has been in years.
But that's not what he was saying.
But that's not what he was saying. He was saying is just...
a lot of people pride themselves, say, I don't use that word, therefore I'm not racist.
Right, correct. That's what he was saying. Correct. Yeah, and a good point.
And in fact, they might
but
be.
This word is so powerful that his overall message is almost lost. He spoke for merely, an hour on that podcast.
Yeah, it was supposed to be more.
And
like
the only sentence, the only two sentences you're going to hear anywhere are the ones around the N-word.
That's your profession, you know.
That's my profession.
Journalism is doing that.
You
We're
and your
taking...
press people are doing that all the time.
Blame it on the media,
actually,
huh?
That is true. We did take the sound bite out of that, which the president well knew and planned.
Yeah, well, it could be. Joe, we have a lot of letters.
Let's get to the letters, and then we'll go on to other issues.
Okay. Rich says on the escapees, your Robert Farrow summary from 1978.
Garrow.
It says Farrow here. I'm so sorry.
It does.
I thought that maybe Mia. Robert Farrow's summary from 1978, Garrow, was flawed today. State police were there in droves. Garrow was within the fences between Fishkill and 84 with a radio and the gun. How much is this search costing? Eric Freen comparisons.
Well, Garrow had family in the area, and basically, while it was sort of portrayed as though he was a big mountain man and was going to go into the woods and hide, he actually mostly darted in and out of the woods near relatives' houses and got help. So
this
it was
during
his
early 70s escape in the Adirondacks you're talking about.
That's true, but the Fishkill thing, that was a little different, yeah.
I mean, he was disabled. He was disabled because when he was captured... In the early 70s, he was shot by a state INCON officer, and that's why he was in this low security unit, because they didn't think he had mobility. And then his son snuck him in a gun and a radio, and he hobbled out and got into the woods off the interstate, and they came down hard on him.
Now Ryan says it's amazing how the press and people have reacted. The N-word is like saying Voldemort in Harry Potter. It's ridiculous. It's a word I see all the time in Civil War and slavery. As a Civil War and slavery historian, it's important to be able to say the word in a discussion about race within context.
I think Voldemort is exactly a take on the N-word in the Harry Potter series. You know, the he who cannot be named.
Right.
the secret name, but it is a powerful word. And as someone who works with words, I love how it has been banned. There are people who believe it should be retired and not used at all.
Okay. And Bonnie says, panel, by tiptoeing around this word, you've given it a power it doesn't deserve. Bonnie. Okay, thank you, Bonnie. Oh, boy.
Bonnie didn't use the word
I just
either.
Lost one, Joe. I don't know. It was in there, and I pressed the button, and the
Is that
the
Ted?
Ted says, yeah, can you read that? Because mine are all scrunched together.
So why is there not the same outrage when the use of the B word, especially among women of any color? Even in the media, women of all ages and races use this word all the time.
Interesting. We were just having a discussion during the break about symbols that are as noxious as the Confederate flag or words that are as bad as the N-word. And I suggested the Playboy bunny or the B-word that you're talking about. And the argument I got from my male cohorts here was that no one died over those words.
Can I ask you a question? Have you ever used the B-word? Tell the truth.
Of course I have.
No, we were not
talking about that. But not against you, Alan.
Referring to a female dog, it's a technical term.
No, you know better than that.
Can I just... Yeah.
The
okay.
C word is worse. I won't use that.
To take us out of this, I mean, the N-word is like an obscenity, like just a grotesque obscenity,
okay.
But it also has political value. You know,
the point, though, is we were talking about the Confederate flag, we were talking about the swastika
symbols.
And the Nazi flag, and Rosemary likened the symbol of the Playboy bunny, the Playboy...
That is characterizing it wrong. I said the only other symbol I could think of that would be somewhat the same in terms of noxious to people was the Playboy bunny, which is the objectification
of women.
You said you likened it to. I didn't say it was like the Confederates or the Nazis. I said it was a bad symbol.
Words are very important, Joe.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Oh boy, we're all touchy here today.
No, it's good when we are.
But I think you're taking a corporate symbol and likening it to a flag that represented a movement that killed thousands of people.
Playboy Bunny means a whole lot more than Playboy magazine. It stands for women as pretty things.
And men as misogynists, users of those pretty things.
Why misogynist?
Well, you know, they just.
I mean, I think the Playboy...
Because they're pigs.
Because I think the Playboy
okay,
Enterprise...
Okay, you said it, and everybody heard you. And even though you kept your voice low when you said that because they're pigs...
I was joking, Alan. Lighten up.
But there are people...
Take it back, take
symbols,
it back.
Symbols mean a lot to different people. Yeah. Like, there are people who are angry about fast food restaurants, and the symbols for fast food restaurants anger them because so many people have been sickened and gotten diabetes and gotten health problems because they have a diet of fast food. So the symbol of a fast food restaurant might mean very offensive something to them, something very offensive to them. So, symbols all related to your own experience.
How about the Indians? We Redskins. That is now offensive. These symbols and these the word squaw.
I think Redskins and the Washington National Football Team franchise is a good comparison. To some people, it's just a rousing symbol of a great sport team, and to others, it's extraordinarily offensive. And once people learn that, they understand it better.
Anyway, carrying along with that, Kathy writes, they know what it means. Okay, guys, I grew up in Alabama, and let me tell you, Southerners know what that flag means, and they revel in it. I was in high school before I realized that the South lost the Civil War. That's what the culture is down there. And then Rachel says, the truth about the flag on the South Carolina State House is it's only been flying there since 1962 in response to desegregation. We discussed that at some length already. Yeah. If that doesn't make it more a racist symbol, then I don't know what does. It should have been removed many years ago for the right reasons, not now in the wake of the media attention aftermath of a horrific racist massacre. I don't see why not. I don't get that.
Well, it should have been removed sooner.
Well, I agree with her about that. Yeah. But since it wasn't, now it is, and that's good. I don't think it's bad that's done. And let's see. Mark says, Let us remember that the method in which these two convicts escaped had nothing to do with convincing a woman, in quotes, Joyce Mitchell, to have sympathy for them. It was therefore ironic that Rosemary be fascinated with their method of escape. Let me just say, Rosemary, you've had a...
I don't see how one is related to the other. Yes, she did, apparently, if the charges are true, help in some way, but she was only part of the plot. And if indeed the charges are right and they were having sex together, think how long he plotted that to win her over.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's amazing.
Well, and Nicholas says, nine people were not killed with a flag, but a semi-auto handgun. While I'm all for the flag's removal, why are we so offended by a symbol yet totally fine with a means of execution? That's an assumption that you're making, that we're all totally fine with it. We're not. The conversation needs to remain on gun control. Well, sorry, Nick, that we talked about both of them.
Good point, though.
Bad
point. I agree with him on
that. That's all right. Let's see.
This is an interesting...
this one?
Yeah, it's not anything we talked about, though, today.
Well, women were slipping their mint juleps, admiring ugly, gaudy hats, watching other races, waiting for the big race for another severe whipping of American Pharaoh. Helwyn, a lesser, quote, horse, snapped with a fragile, undeveloped leg and fell to the ground. His dehydrated body gave out, and the party continued. Why is Naira getting away with drugging horses? How can they state that they are against horse slaughter, yet prevent legislation that would prevent it from passing?
This is a growing activist movement against thoroughbred horse
racing. The racehorse industry,
sure. We're hearing a lot from these people, and some of their points are well taken.
The idea that use of the N-word or the I-word or the Z-word is okay within the affected group, but not without, is worthy of a George Carlin-type routine.
I can hear him. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
good
funny.
Good point. And boy. It just never stops, these letters. They just keep coming.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We like that.
Uh-huh, we do. Okay, now I think, Joe, that's it, I think.
Okay, let's go to some other topics here because we have a lot still around that we'd like to discuss. Let's go to what do you think about the woman on the town? This is actually a good segue here.
I love this story. Okay, I've looked at currency all over the world. We have really, really ugly money. They're all old, dead, usually presidents, but founders. There are countries in the world that put women. They put writers and poets and composers
on
their music.
We do that on stamps.
We do it on stamps. We need it on our money.
Can I just set it up real quick?
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot.
No, that's okay.
What are they talking about?
Okay, so there was a there is discussion by the Treasury to put a woman on the new $10 bill
and take off
Alexander Hamilton. Now, the article I sent out last night was Ben Bernanke, the former
horrified by this.
Fed chair, saying that he thought that he was appalled to hear of the decision to demote Alexander Hamilton from the featured position on the $10 bill, and a better solution would be to dump Andrew Jackson off of the 20.
Which is what women's group have advocated for. Andrew Jackson was a horrible Indian killer and racist. He did terrible things, and take him off and put on Harriet Tubman, Susan B. Anthony, Eleanor Roosevelt are the three that you most hear. I think it's a great idea.
We're talking
long
about
overdue.
Symbols, even more,
symbols, yes. There's a symbol. Why don't we have women on our money? In Sweden, there's an old woman on a piece
an
of
old
currency.
Woman?
An old woman.
Now,
that's
Susan
the most
B.
radical.
Anthony,
she was a writer.
Does it make a difference? I don't mean to lighten this, but does it make a difference between a coin and a dollar?
Yes, it didn't work. The coin. We don't use dollars here. We don't
but
use
we did
coins
put
as
Susan
dollars.
B. Anthony on a...
And it didn't work. So many people think she should have another chance on a foldable bill.
Okay.
Another chance.
Sacagawea, right? That was the other one.
Yep. Same thing though. She was on a coin. People kept mixing up dollars and quarters. It was horrible. Nobody uses.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with the gender of the person on the coin. The coins were just
yes,
stupid.
It did. The men got on the bills, which people use, and the women
Thomas
got on
Jefferson
the stinking
had a $2
coins.
Bill, and nobody used that either.
Oh, but that's yes, they do.
Where?
Like, it's kind of quaint.
When did you get a $2 bill?
You still get it. You can still get them. I have a friend who uses them as tips and taxis.
Hey, have you ever tried to put like a $20 bill in a vending machine at a post office? All the change comes out as
$2.
Right.
And Subways do the same thing. They'll give you.
Right. Same, yeah.
So there is a
soda machines.
It's not like women
okay, so
haven't been
so just
recognized
switch them.
In
put,
currency.
Put Jackson on one of those stinking coins, and the women get
actually,
a bill.
The $20 bill has become ubiquitous. It's what ATMs hand out. You know,
it's
the common currency. Everyone has $20 bills now. So
getting
a woman.
That's why the Treasury switched it to the 10. They said no.
We use them too much. We don't want to honor a woman too much.
Well, no, they said it would cost too much.
Have you ever thought
if
Hamilton were alive right now, would he be a Democrat or a Republican? No question, right? He'd be a Republican. Winning?
Yes.
I think so.
As abhorrent as he was, was a Democrat.
Mm. Well, that was...
Now you see what's going
labels, symbols, what's going on.
He was one of those Southern Democrats, so he was really horrible.
The thing, and I don't have the number from me, or the date in front of me here, but my understanding was, even if this all gets approved, we're still not talking in any major change until 2022 or something like that. I think we'll have a couple of Olympics before we actually see any change. On
sure,
a couple
of
then,
presidential elections.
Sure, yes. By then Bush will
you
be
might have
White
a woman president by then. Maybe.
Talk about another symbol.
And they didn't seem to make it much like they did with the coins of trying to bring in the American people as to deciding as
like.
To who they would like on them.
Well,
because
Rosemary's
we agree
right.
on so many things.
Yeah, Rosemary's yes. right.
They say that again.
Rosemary's right. We should give them another chance. Remember
give
you
who?
Said
the women
who were on the coins. Was... The coins didn't go well, and you said give them another chance this time on paper money.
Susan
I agree
Anthony.
With you.
They believe, but I like Harriet Tubman. I think that would be.
Well, I think Eleanor Roosevelt too.
I love Eleanor Roosevelt. Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be
as a New York State resident. I would want to see
Eleanor. Sure.
All right, we are out of time.
No.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Mike said, "Let's take another hour."
Rosemary.
What about the book show?
Rosemary started talking about the Playboy Bunny, and then we lost.
Oh yeah, sorry, I did the diversion
all momentum.
Today, didn't I?
All right. You can join us by emailing roundtable@wamc.org, and we'll be back tomorrow with another panel with many other topics. We thank you very much. Thank
Do
you
not
all.
Send me any pictures of Playboy bunnies,
goodbye.
Please.